a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
Steve. I mean, Frank T. Biscuit.
Frank Steve Biscuit.
He doesn't even look like a Steve.
No.
Thank God I hate Steves.
Why do you hate Steve? I have an uncle named Steve. Why do you hate Steve?
Because every Steve I've met was an asshole.
Yeah?
Yes.
Many not my assholes. Uncle Steve.
How many Steves have you really met in your life?
Like, everyone that I've met was an asshole.
I mean, what if there's somebody listening to our show named Steve King? And he thinks you're an asshole?
Steve King was a nice
King's
guy.
An asshole.
Yeah, there's one
but
guy.
I don't know that Steven.
You know Steve King?
I said
King?
All the ones I know.
You know Steve King?
You know
King?
Steve King.
Oh, I thought you said, like, Stephen King.
Like, he's the bald guy with the nice wife.
I actually ran into
kid.
Him last week at the
really?
Astros game. Yes.
Wait. He is an Astros fan.
Yes, I ran into Steve.
And cool guys go to Astros games. So
and
take
drunken
that.
Jerks, too.
Yeah, that's true.
You've been plenty, Matt.
Yep.
But, I guess happy birthday to our Irish friend. You know,
yes, you know. our Irish friend.
Who's Irish?
Frank is bloody Irish.
He thinks he's Scottish, but he's really an Irish leprechaun.
These two dumbasses can't get their islands right.
Taking a swig of Jameson.
They get killed happy and they get confused.
Nobody gets killed happy around here. But yes, it was Frank's birthday yesterday. He's old. That's all we'll say.
Yes.
There's a giant fucking buzzer outside the window of the other
house. There was
two buzzers
in your ditch when I pulled up.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Must be a dead rabbit or something, maybe.
And actually, the car in front of me almost hit it. I was like, at first I was like, is that a turkey? I was like, let me go back home, get my .22.
That's
we're
going
to have ourselves a bird today.
Recording the show here, and just a giant buzzer just flies across. That's crazy.
Better not be after Frank's Lucky Charms.
So.
They are magically
know,
delicious.
You know, I'm feeling rejuvenated today. And not that
good
kind
night.
Of rejuvenated.
Oh.
I didn't get laid or anything like that, sadly. But I saw a movie this weekend that we all saw that has rejuvenated my faith in comic book films.
Baywatch.
No.
Oh.
Wait, that was a comic book?
It might as well
TV
be.
Show.
And that was Wonder Woman, of
yes.
course. We didn't really talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 because it was around the time Compalooza.
And
we saw the movie.
We
were getting ready for Compalooza, and our live show was focused on the 40 years of Star Wars. And we didn't really talk about Guardians. So we'll backtrack a little bit and just real brief. Guardians. We all agree we enjoy Guardians.
Yes,
Matt, you probably enjoyed a little more than Frank and I did, to an extent.
A little bit more.
But
bit more
to me, that. Guardians, I enjoyed it, but I still felt like it was same old with Marvel.
It was a continuation of number one.
It didn't add anything new to the Marvel mythos. It didn't really do anything to make me like excited for Guardians 3 or anything like that. I was just like, it was what it was for me.
Especially since Guardians 3 is going to be a long ways away.
It does.
It?
Well, they're saying the earliest they'll start filming is 2019 because Zoe Saldana is committed to the Avatar sequels
right.
next year
mm-hmm.
that we don't need.
Yeah,
I didn't hate Avatar, but I'm just like, Cameron, do something else. You know,
well, when
just,
a movie makes that much money, you know, they
you
greenlight
know,
it
and
for others.
So. You know, and that's how I felt about Guardians. I enjoyed it immensely. I did enjoy the film.
It'll
I just felt
high.
Like...
Yeah, we were even watching a bootleg copy of
and
it.
We were, yeah.
But Wonder Woman is better.
Yes.
Way better.
It edges it out.
The combo movies we've had so far in 2017, people say, well, Logan's still better. Logan's such a different film.
It is. We were talking about that.
It's a neo-noir western that happens to feature a mutant in it. It's a totally different kind of film, where Wonder Woman is a comic book film.
It is based on the Wonder Woman number one.
And it's a spectacular comic book film. I haven't walked out. We've been spoiled since, I'd say, the year 2000, when X-Men came out,
mm-hmm.
with comic book films. We've had a lot of them. The thought of what's your top three anymore almost is to the point it doesn't matter, because there's four or five of them now that I think are almost... I think the Dark Knight's still slightly above them, but then there's four or five that are just equal level. It's hard to pick two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And I would include Spider-Man 2 in there, the Sam Raimi one.
Yeah.
I would include the Winter Soldier. I would include the first Guardians. I would include Logan in that.
Mm-hmm.
I would include...
Wonder Woman now.
X-Men 2.
Yeah, X2.
And then I would include the film that Wonder Woman pays a huge homage to, and that's Superman, the movie with Christopher Reeve.
Yes.
I would put those movies as your top tier... Under the Dark Knight comic book movies. And I would even put The Dark Knight Rises in there, because I think Nolan did a great job with
he
it.
Did.
He wanted to have Heath in it. He wasn't able to because of Heath's death. So it caused, I think, The Dark Knight Rises to possibly suffer a little bit from not being able to bring the Joker back. Yes. But it's still a great film. And that's where we stand. And Wonder Woman is right there. But Wonder Woman just feels a little fresher than even some of those movies. And I think it's because... I think it's because Patty Jenkins, the director, did take the time to really think about like how to bring this character to life in a way that felt fresh and new, but yet familiar. Mm-hmm. You know, and by God, it saved the DC Cinematic Universe, that's for sure.
Yeah, that it did.
I've seen these pictures where it talks about Wonder Woman, and it said Wonder Woman explained in one picture, and it shows her carrying Batman and Superman on her shoulders. And I'm like, yep. I'm like, it definitely made you hopeful for the future.
And, you know, from the opening of the film, I went into this kind of low expectations because of what we've seen so far from DC. I like Man of Steel a lot more than a lot of people. I really enjoy Man of Steel. Batman vs. Superman, we talked about on the show. We liked it more than some people, but we did agree it had problems. Suicide Squad was a mess of a movie that shouldn't have made $300 million, but it did somehow.
Yeah.
You know, and
Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn and Will Smith. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this man is just, God, it's a good fucking movie.
It is.
I hadn't walked out of the theater smiling in a while. The scene, and we are going to spoil the shit out of this right now.
So, can I say something?
Yeah, no.
You know me.
You're on a podcast. You can't talk.
Well, you know me. What do I generally, Mr. Doubt? Oh, I don't like really think it's going to be that great. And then I come back and I'm like, oh, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I went into this already having high expectations from what I've seen from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it shattered those expectations. Like, I was like, I want to see this movie again. That's how much I enjoyed it. You know?
One scene in this movie that is the best intro of a hero since Logan was introduced in the bar in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the best intro of a hero since Christopher Reeve saved the plane and Superman was her introduction. When she steps out on no man's land to fight a war that she believes is a certain kind of war and doesn't really understand what the war is about.
Mm-hmm.
Man, wow. That was just, I got chills. And right? I know that sounds cliche, but wow, that was so awesome. I mean, she walks out, the Wonder Woman outfit's there,
machine guns
going off of her shield, giving these soldiers confidence to fight the battle against the Germans, and just absolutely unbelievable. And I didn't want it to end. You know, and when it all came to and she realized we're going to talk a lot about how this film handles superheroes and war and the ideas of what they deal with. And one thing I really hate about the Marvel films sometimes, and I may have mentioned this to y'all before, is how the one-liners during battles. Buildings are crumbling, innocents are involved in Captain America and Thanos' battles or whatever they're fighting, mm-hmm. and they don't seem to care. They did deal with it in Civil War. You know, they did deal with it, don't get me wrong. But it just seems in the height of battle, they're too busy making one-liners. Wonder Woman knew when to make jokes. You never heard her make a joke while fighting. You know? And you saw Steve and his soldiers, like, standing back to the side and go, like, you know, what's up with her? You know, they made some sort of joke, but not in the midst of shooting arrows and making a one-liner. And that's what I loved about the fact how they handled this film. They knew when to make the jokes. And it's almost like, I hope DC found that formula that they've been looking for with this. And we'll see with the Justice League and Aquaman are the next two films.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking a lot, man. We got a lot to talk about in this film. I haven't had a comic movie I've wanted to talk about this much in a long time.
For me, it was characterization. I feel like Gal Gadot really captured, with her performance, what we wanted to see Wonder Woman as. She had beauty. She had smarts. Obviously, she can speak a bunch of language. She talked that guy under the table, that tiny French dude that they first met in the bar when they were trying to make it across. She's everything. She's everything that, you know, a superwoman would be. She's beautiful. She's strong. And she, you know, it was an awesome movie. It was an awesome performance. You couldn't, you know, you can't doubt her as Wonder Woman after this movie. I mean, you had some questions after, you know, Dawn of Justice. You didn't see a whole lot of her in it.
Right.
You maybe thought she looked good, but, you know, this was a Wonder Woman movie that showcased what she could do as the character. And she didn't disappoint.
I like the fact that they explain that, you know, she's not just an Amazon warrior, that she is a god.
Yeah.
You know, like literally the last
divine blood
child mm-hmm. of Zeus, you know, and that's what's cool. Like she thought the sword was the weapon that was the god killer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they, her mom was so afraid to, like, tell her who she was, you know, that she was a weapon. You know, she was afraid that that would get out there, you know, and put her in danger.
Yeah.
And, but yet she, as a child, was fearless because she was a god, and she didn't even know it.
Well, she's part god. And they didn't explain that fully in the comics. She's a deity in the sense that she's made by Zeus. Right. So she's not quite a god, but she's really freaking close.
Yeah.
But let's and in the movies, they kind of left that open to keep, I think, to simplify.
But let's be honest, but in the Greek gods, the part man, part god, the children of Zeus are more powerful than the actual gods themselves.
Yeah.
And in all the stories, the children of Zeus and the other gods, their children are more powerful than they are. Because it was a combination of humans and gods that made them more powerful. Because the gods didn't always have that compassion
and that fire.
Yeah, yeah. That the human element, when you added the human element to them, that made them stronger. You know, like you said, Hercules, her, you know, characters like that and all the other ones. You know, even the bad guys were stronger in a sense.
Do you feel like they made her more powerful than how she appeared in the comics? I kind of got that feeling.
People have said, I've read that.
I mean, it's almost like she's flying.
It's hard to say because I'm not like, you know me, I can bust anything out about Batman or Daredevil or something. I don't know enough about Wonder Woman to know how much her powers are. It's hard for me to judge, you know.
For some reason, I had this in the back of my mind that she was basically like DC's Captain America, maybe a little stronger.
No, I knew she had more powers than Captain America. Yeah, I knew that.
Like, obviously,
I don't know what her power level is. I have read before that she could kill Superman if she wanted to, so I'm thinking she's pretty powerful.
She's gotten toe-to-toe with him, so. I mean, it didn't bother me too much.
Right.
I know Zack Snyder likes to make things a little bit more extravagant and likes to make them a little bit more extreme.
He just produced it. Yeah. I want to go back to what you were saying about characterization. I really like the fact that this movie didn't rush into things. It took the time to tell her story, and when she is revealed, that's what makes it so dramatic. Very much, again, a homage to Superman in the movie. We didn't see Superman almost an hour into that film. You know, they took the time to bring him to Earth and being raised by Jonathan and Martha, and then when Superman is revealed in that film and the whole city of Metropolis sees him, it's an incredible moment. Even for theatrical abilities of 1979, you know, mm-hmm. or 78, whichever year it came out. And that's how I felt about this. It's like they didn't rush it. And I didn't mind, you know. I never felt like, all right, let's get to the superhero stuff, you know. Like when I hearken back to when Godzilla came out a couple years ago, it's like I just wanted to see Godzilla.
Right.
You know, this, and it took an hour to see his foot.
Yeah.
You know? And in this, it's like I didn't mind the backstory because it was played out so well because they took the time to develop every single character in small ways, even the minor characters.
And that's the thing, the guys that travel with her, and I'm not talking about the main male character, but the other three guys.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Indian, Native American guy.
If you go where I'm going, hold on that because we're going to specifically break those guys down. Here in
Dang
a second,
it. Yeah. Talk about
because we're gonna get to that, and we're still on the island, and how they developed her mother and the general, and the overprotectiveness of her because she's the only child on the island,
mm-hmm.
and why she's special, and I thought it was all handled very well, and it's very much also a coming of age story of Diana Prince, and like you said, was she too powerful at the end? We don't know because the whole thing is her journey to become Wonder Woman. And she gains her powers, and she doesn't even know what she could do until the power of love opened up her abilities in a way. It was almost like an awakening in a way that Rey had an awakening of the Force in mm-hmm. Star Wars, you know. And I love that fact that I felt like I was watching this character develop and become Wonder Woman before our eyes over the 2 hours and 20 minutes. And it was handled very well. And the characterization goes all the way down to the men in her group that Frank wanted to talk about. And let's start, most importantly, with Steve. Okay? And we don't hate the Steve. He was a good Steve.
Steve Trevor was a good Steve.
Yeah. You know, Chris Pine, man. Chris Pine, as an actor, I truly think that, man, he's got, like, Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks type ability if he wants to be, you know?
Yeah.
He really could if he can find the right roles, you know?
Yeah.
Just he's got that charm to him. He's got the looks. He's a I think his biggest problem is he doesn't maybe quite have the range that Hanks or Cruise has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he kind of comes across the same guy every movie. But this, I liked him more in this than even as Captain Kirk. You know,
right.
And again, a character that's slowly developed. He developed a relationship with Wonder Woman, and they loved each other in a way, but it wasn't like gratuitous, or it wasn't like over the top.
Would
you
say it's above average?
See what you did there. And but it was handled very tactically,
tastefully.
Tastefully, yes. Or I heard someone complain. Oh, Wonder Woman's not going to kiss some guy. She's learning about herself too. She had never been to men before. Seen. You know?
Right?
Yeah.
You know, she didn't know that his sperm's not going to do anything to her.
She first time, you know, somebody of the opposite sex laid a little charm on her. She kind of fell for
right.
it.
Right. Because I mean, and
who couldn't fall for Wonder Woman?
What, you know, she might be a child of Zeus, but she's also Zeus made her grow as and have human qualities to her. Mm-hmm. And she's discovering that because she's been shielded, so she doesn't know any of this. So I didn't have a problem with the relationship she had with Steve at all.
No.
Thought it was handled very well. And it wasn't like they're all over each other. You know,
wasn't exactly a love story. In fact, they were reluctant to start anything like that.
And then we'll come back to Steve in a minute. But his group of men, this was a part of the movie that I really may go unnoticed to some people, but how well these characters are handled.
But see, that's one of the parts that I paid attention to was these three extra characters.
And you've paid attention to a movie for once?
All the time.
I don't remember all their names, but I remember Samir.
I know Chief.
Samir and Chief, those are two easy ones.
And then and the Scottish guy.
And they're so, you know, it's amazing because there's so much commentary in here without being political or in your face like some movies tend to do.
It wasn't political, but it was just the truth.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. And
it was the truth for the time.
They did a great job with that. Where what does Sammy say? Something about like being the wrong color?
Yeah. He's like, I'm the last of my people. And there he's like,
no, that's the chief.
Oh, yeah.
Rami said like he wanted to be an actor.
Right.
Yeah.
But because of his color of his skin, there's not that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of opportunity for that. And I'm not quoting it right, but you know, and he also is like kind of mentions in a sense that in war, you don't get to be the person you don't get to be during war. You don't get to be the person you want to be. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to be the person you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he wanted to be an actor, but the war needed him to be who he was at that time.
And then, yeah, his character was handled. Then we move on to the
you going to say the Scottish guy? Just say the Scottish guy.
Is he Scottish? We're not going to say he was Scottish. You wanted to be Scottish, so he's not Scottish, okay?
Well, if he came off the main island, then he's Scottish.
Island.
But he... Man, you know, I wish I remembered his name.
And Scotland are actually
connected. I have my phone to IMDb and see his name, the character's name in the movie. But, you know, his character, they handle PTSD in this film.
Right.
In a subtle way that's done better than... I mean, it might, as good as American Sniper was, it might have handled it better than American Sniper, which took 2 hours to handle it.
Granted, American Sniper is based on a true story.
Right. But they just the idea of handling the idea of what war does to someone. And that, you know, and they
and
did
it's not
such
just
a
something
good
they deal
job
with when they come home.
Right. It deal with it while at war, too, that he woke up having a nightmare and then...
you can freeze during battle.
Yeah, it wasn't able to shoot, and that was just so subtly done, but so well done. And
Charlie,
that's right. I was wanting to say like Charlie.
Does he give where he's from?
No, it doesn't.
And then Scotland. Then we have Chief, who, man, you know, I was reading some stuff that a lot of American Indians are finding out about this character in the movie, and they're really enjoying the fact that they got a part for an American Indian that didn't stereotype him. Right. And because, you know, you see so many cowboy movies or Westerns where the Indians are the bad guys or whatever. And this was just a guy who accepted his fate that his country was taken from him by Steve's people. He says the white people. But he forgives him for it because he realizes in his life that he's not fighting any side of the war. He's going to fight for what himself and what he believes.
But what I liked is her first pre-consumption of him, that she thought he was in the war for profit. You know, she thought he was profiting off of the war.
Mm-hmm.
Until she actually sees him in the village with the people turning down money and realizes that he's actually there to help the people. Mm-hmm. That it's not about profit. And then when he's going through the trenches and how the soldiers light up to this guy. Like, they're all like, "Chis Chief," and they're excited to see him and everything. And you realize this ain't a guy about money.
He finds his own way.
Mm-hmm. This is a guy who cares about the people. You know, he's there fighting for them. Fighting this war to help these people. You know, it's not about the dollar for him. You know, and at first you could tell when she first sees him, when she first meets him and talks to him, that's what she thinks he's about, is about making money off of war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until she sees him turning down the coins from the people in the village.
Right. And then, so those were the three guys in Steve's group. I'm not forgetting anybody, am I?
No, there's only three guys.
There's three. And then, you know, after that climactic battle where she's introduced on No Man's Land and she's dancing and visiting with the people of the town, she kind of, like, she does a good job realizing, like, you know, they're all heroes. And she and Wonder Woman takes the time to acknowledge the men that they all did it too. Like, she didn't want all the credit. You know, she was like, no, we're all a part of it. And it showed what it means to be a hero, that it's not just an individual thing. Even at the end of the film, you know, when Steve sacrifices himself to save everyone from the poison gas going off, even then, she still gives credit to everyone in the group. And I thought that was handled very well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get Captain America and Iron Man and Thor and Hulk arguing over who's the top dog.
Yeah.
And I thought this approach was really nice to see. And if you read DC Comics and everything, just the Justice League has always been like that. They've always been very much a group that works together. And I'm not saying the Avengers don't work together, but the Justice League has always been such a great group because they know their strengths and their weaknesses and how to work together, where the Avengers sometimes relies more on brute strength and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, like you don't have Superman standing around going, "Yeah, it's for my strength is why we won," and you got,
right,
you know, Batman going, "Whoa, it wasn't for my gadgets."
And people don't always know that there are subtle differences in the way those comics have been written over the years, whether it's Marvel or DC, mm-hmm. and differences in the Avengers. And I'm not even getting into whether Avengers could defeat Justice League in a battle or anything like that.
No, we had that discussion.
It's just subtle differences the ways that those characters can be handled and things like that. And you know, but overall, man, I just really, I'm. My faith is rejuvenated somewhat in comic movies, you know, because not that I was not going to stop going to see them, but I was starting to get to that point where, like, okay, it's another one.
Stagnant.
You know, I'm really looking forward to Spider-Man Homecoming, you know, looking forward to Thor. But, man, I'm really looking forward to the DC, or are they DCEU Extended Universe? What are they officially called? I don't know.
Yeah.
I just wish that, I hope that Justice League comes together properly. You know, we've had some sad news recently that Zack Snyder had to step aside from finishing the film because of his daughter committing suicide. So, mm-hmm. very sad. And so, Josh Whedon, who I don't really like, but he stepped in to help finish the film. They're going to do some reshoots. He's going to edit together. And so, hopefully, this Wonder Woman continues a trend for DC films. And then next year, we're only getting Aquaman because Batman and The Flash haven't gotten off the ground yet since they've had to rewrite the scripts for The Flash, and Batman was just because they decided, I don't know what they're doing with Batman.
Isn't they going to put him in Suicide Squad 2?
Possibly, I don't know. Joel Kinnaman saying that they may start shooting Suicide Squad 2 next year. I really think that DC needs to sit back and maybe by Comic-Con this year, have some sort of exact plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to Aquaman, you know, because James Wan has done some of the Fast and Furious films and things, is a pretty good director, and I think he'll pull off a good Aquaman film. Mm-hmm. And he needs to watch Patty Jenkins' Wonder Woman film over and over again and take some notes on it. Did you all enjoy the Superman, the huge Superman homage in there where she saves him with a bullet? That was awesome.
Yes.
Right out of Superman the movie. You know, I really love that. But where does Wonder Woman go from here? You know, I think that here's what I think they should do with Wonder Woman. You know, she'll appear in Justice League in November, obviously, and probably Justice League 2 down the road. But I would love to see the next film maybe jump 30, 40 years. I don't know if we do another war movie approach. I don't want to see her in Vietnam or anything like that. But
Flashpoint?
Nothing like that. I think you stay in the past with her, maybe like in the 60s or something, and then, you know, some villain attacks or whatever, and keep it contemporary and keep moving her forward in time, you know? I don't think you need to jump her to modern times quite yet.
Or, I mean, she can always go back to the island. She goes back to the island multiple times, and maybe an attack on the island.
And what did y'all think about the villain twist?
We had a feeling.
I kind of had a funny suspicion when they first introduced his character that he was the main villain.
I honestly didn't see it.
I did because I
have
just
you ever seen Harry Potter? I told him it's because I've seen Harry Potter.
That was your philosophy. I didn't trust the guy.
And it's always in Harry Potter. It's always the defense against the dark arts teacher, right? And he was one of the defense against the dark arts teacher that had a dark side to him. He turned into a wolf in the moonlight, and he would
just because he was in Harry Potter.
Right. How I felt, like, because of his previous character. That's like if you saw like Emperor Palpatine in a movie, you're like, he's the bad guy, and he's playing a good guy, right? You're like, something's gonna happen with this guy. I don't trust him. I know he's a different character in this movie, but I don't trust him.
When he approached him in the hallway after the meeting. Okay. That's when I just had this like gut feeling that he was up to no good, you know. And then the part on the and the movie where he was like, stay away from the ball, everything, you know. That's when I really felt like he couldn't be trusted, you know.
I don't think I got the feeling that he was Ares or anything like that. I thought maybe he was. You know, because...
Well, I knew what his name's character was in Ares.
A German sympathizer or something like that, maybe. You know, that's possible back in World War I. Because World War I was full of spies and people everywhere.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the most spied-filled wars we ever had.
And when he was kept saying, oh, we're going to try to go the peace route, I think he was like one of those people knew that the attack was coming and was trying to delay the whole peace negotiation, like trying to keep them from invading, to find out about the gas and try to like slow everything down, relying on the whole peace thing
thought for a few moments in the film that there was no Ares for real, that Wonder Woman was gonna have to learn that, you know, these were stories that were made and things like that, and
or at least they weren't gonna
bring him out in this one, that it really was gonna be about her just helping out in World War I. I really thought they were gonna go that route, because, you know, Ares is a relatively new villain in Wonder Woman terms. He's been around, but like until one of the reboots they did in the 90s is when he started becoming a more prominent villain for her. So he's actually history,
I like the way he looked
kind
in
of
the
a
movie.
Newer villain. The action sequences, a bit Zack Snyder still, you know, as a producer he had some influence, but I still thought they were very good. Someone said they felt that final battle was a little long. I didn't feel that because I felt she was discovering her powers. I didn't feel it was too long. I mean,
I'm sorry. I like a good fight scene. I hate the ones where they build you up, and then it's like a 2-minute fight scene. And really? They throw some cards, they throw some punches, and it's over with?
I thought the film had a right amount of action in it and story and humor.
The end of the film, because of all like the flashes and the explosions and the lightning, I was like, but something clicked. I was like, I feel like I'm watching a Michael Bay movie. I was like, I'm enjoying the battle.
I didn't feel like Michael Bay.
I felt like a Michael Bay movie.
I didn't feel like Michael Bay. I felt like Zack Snyder. Michael Bay is just... I didn't feel like it felt like a Bay movie.
Somebody else I was talking about the movie, they got tired of like... every time it was like the music kicked in. Like her music just kicked in every fight scene.
Actually, I was paying attention. It only kicks in like two or three times in the movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's any superhero movie.
Yeah.
That's her theme song.
Watch The Dark Knight.
Theme music.
Batman has a theme. The Avengers have a theme, you know, when they're out on the screen. Captain America had it. That's a silly thing to say about a movie, because every heroes have a theme going back to, again, Christopher Reeve, 1979. Everyone knows the John Williams theme. For Superman. I mean,
yeah, but that's a classic. That's
and
classic.
Why can't newer films have classics for their characters? I mean, the Dark Knight films are only 17 or 12 years old, and everyone knows the theme for Christopher Nolan's Batman's if they hear it.
And people know the Linda Carter Wonder Woman theme song.
You know.
No, I like the original Batman theme song.
So, Wonder Woman, you know, man, just fantastic. If you didn't go see it, yeah, we might have spoiled something, but go fucking see it.
Go see it.
Great movie. Yeah. It's all I've seen lately because with the baby being born and everything, I wasn't able to see Alien Covenant, even though I wanted to.
Me neither.
I've heard okay things about it.
It's okay. I heard it's better than Prometheus.
Better than Prometheus, but it's okay.
I mean, I still want to see it eventually. Pirates, I can wait for that on video.
And interesting.
You know? I heard Pirates was good.
But I'm not interested. I got burnt out after the last one. I was like,
I heard there's my aunt saw it, and she's really optimistic, so it's hard for me to take... I have to take it with a couple grains of salt. And she's like, oh, it's so much better than At World's End, and there's so many cameos. You've got to go see it.
See, I like the fourth one. I didn't like the second and third one. I didn't care for very much. I like the first one. I thought that fourth one with the mermaids was pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. I'll see it eventually. So before we get into Download This, because I haven't downloaded this today. Well, you know, let's do Download This right now. So this is Download This.
Download This.
You know.
Or that.
Man, you know, this was going to be my Download This like a month ago, but between our composer shows and everything, but man, and I texted you guys about this, and I know Frank started watching some of it, but man, I discovered Rick and Morty. I know I'm late to the game on this. Apparently, I'm not that cool anymore. I guess that's what happens when you get 40 years old. You're just not fucking cool. But man, Rick and Morty's like when you take a good shit and you feel good about it, you know? And if you watch the show, you get the humor is why I'm saying that, okay?
It's disgusting, but you're proud of it.
If you're having a moment where you're trying to be creative, like let's say you're trying to type a fan fiction or come up with something for the website or whatever, and you're just not having, you can't be, your mind's not working. Man, watch Rick and Morty. It's like creative geniusness that will just flow through your blood. If you watch it, and you'll think of something, because man, Rick and Morty proves to you that you can fucking do anything on a show, anything's possible, and it's going to be badass. Man, it's the funniest show ever. I've kind of gotten jaded by adult cartoons in some ways, because like Family Guy has gotten same old, and I know Matt's over there steaming at the ears. Oh my God, don't diss Family Guy. You know, Bob's Burgers isn't bad for a newer cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, is Futurama even still on? I don't even know. The Simpsons has run 40 fucking years already since I was born. It's like, okay, that's old. They already canceled Zorn, one of the new adult cartoons. Yeah. One season's gone. And so Rick and Morty is like a breath of fresh air, man. It's just like, it's only aired two seasons so far. They've aired one episode for season three as like an April Fool's gag. And I guess the rest of them are coming on sometime this summer. Man, but if you're not watching Rick and Morty, and don't be uncool like me.
I'm only about, what, like maybe six, seven episodes? The Miseps or whatever. Yeah, I already know what Mark would do if he had
dude,
one.
Dude, I'm only two up. Well, what?
Yeah.
Well, basically, these characters, people don't know, they help you accomplish something.
Right.
And then they die. You give them
a task and they die.
Yeah.
I already know. Mark can hit the button and go, I got a boner. Can you help me out?
Wow, that's really...
You're like, it's Mr. Misu, look at me! It works like I am. Mark busts his and Mr. Misu dies.
Mr. Nice.
I'm not even going to attempt to come back on this one. You know, I'm just going to be like... I only have like two episodes left and I'm done with it so far. What y'all's downloaded this? What have y'all downloaded, watched, streamed lately?
I haven't downloaded it yet, but I want to download Injustice 2 for the phone.
But you haven't downloaded it yet.
So I got it on my iPad. I actually like it.
You do?
Yes.
I just got my SD card in for my tablet last night, so I need to plug it in and download it. But I played Injustice 1, and it makes me really hopeful for Injustice 2. It looks really good. I saw some gameplay online in the one of the groups that I'm in, and it looks really good, like the Supergirl. And Scarecrow, how Scarecrow looks with all the chains and the hooks. He looks like more like from the comics.
But it is an atypical download game. I mean, if you really want the good stuff, you're either going to play a really long time or you're going to drop the bucks to get the characters. Yes. And I'm sorry,
I'll just wait till it goes $9.99 and buy them a PS4.
I'm not going to pay on a pad game for what I would pay brand new for a console game. I'm not dropping $40-$60, you know,
for a cell phone game.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm gonna buy a hard copy.
So what have you downloaded lately or streamed?
Injustice 2. that's what I was.
Did y'all text each other and go, "Hey man, we should both download Injustice."
Injustice 2. No? Yeah.
But I've like I said, been watching Rick and Morty. But also been watching part of the first season of Attack on Titan.
Oh, good.
On Hulu.
Good. Chuck is
on Netflix, too.
Chuck is the kid's dad.
I watched like the first three episodes about a year ago, and I never got back into it.
Not back into it?
Not because I didn't like it. Like, never went back
violent,
to it.
So you can't watch it around the kids.
Oh, I know that.
Jake watched the whole season with me.
I think it's like, really? Okay, here's I think why I'd...
Cool dad, too.
Yeah, cool dad, too.
I have to look see if Netflix updated. It's funny, man. If I'm watching a foreign film, like I watched Headshot the other night from it's an Indonesian film starring the guy from The Raid. It's not the same director. Like, I'll watch those with the subtitles because I want to hear the original language because I don't want their mouth to still keep moving while the, you know,
so it's actually in English?
There is an English dub on there, but I watched it in the original Indonesian because I don't mind reading it. And I don't mind that for a live-action film, but when it comes to anime, I want to watch the dubbed. I don't want to have to read it. I think that's why I never went back to Attack on Titan.
Well, it's just, Hulu, the first season's now
is it in English? See, on Netflix,
that's where I've been watching.
On Netflix, it was only in Cantonese or whatever it was when I first watched it.
What was that? There's like a new something, Dreams or whatever. It's a foreign film. And it's like in every language except for English. It's in, French, it's in Spanish, it's in German, it's in like literally every freaking country's language except for English. Only English subtitle.
And that bit of information did us no good since you can't remember what it
but
was.
But I
called.
Just thought it was funny. It's like, because whenever I do this foreign show, because, I'm like, I want to watch what the action is going on. I want to sit there and like look at the words and also focus on the TV. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like if I wanted to read a book and watch a TV show at the same time scenario. You know, so whenever these foreign films come on, I always see they have like the English, language in it before I even like save it to watch it later.
It always bugged me back to John Woo's Hardboiled, and they dub Chow Yun-Fat's character, who's obviously Chinese, mm-hmm. and he's dubbed in like a dude who's Australian. It's just so bizarre. It's like a Chinese guy talking Australian in the English dub, and I think they redubbed it over the years, but back in the original dub, it was like a bizarre language.
That's funny.
And so download this, Rick and Morty, Injustice 2. Go check it out. It's your turn to pick Face Off. Do you have one? Okay.
I had like three different scenarios.
We haven't played Face Off in a while. Last time we played Face Off was the show where we dogged Frank because he was sleeping or jacking off or whatever he was doing. And Brian sat in for Frank. And
yes. Did he win?
No, that's why Matt lost. And so we're at a three-way tie at two apiece, okay? And there's no half points, okay?
Yeah, no, I got two and a half.
So, no, there's no half
points. Yes, I got two and a half.
So everyone has won two each. And for
Matt gets two and a half. Mark, you're still behind.
No, everyone's won two each.
Mark likes to be behind.
Because we had a tiebreaker, so there was no half because there was a tiebreaker.
No.
You know what I'm saying? No.
Tiebreaker. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to come up with a way to have some sort of reason for this to end at the end of the year, like the winner or whatever. Because right now, we almost have to count losses because otherwise we're all going to up 2-2-2. We're going to keep winning. I realize that.
Yeah.
I also realize I think the problem with the game is we keep letting the winner sit out the next one and pick. So you don't get a chance to build a winning streak. The loser should pick the next one.
Oh.
I just realized that.
Okay.
Because otherwise, we're going to keep winning 2-2-2. Like, let's say I win today, then I'm 3-2-2. Then I pick the next one, and Frank wins, it's 3-3-2.
If you keep winning, what if the other person keeps...
That's the idea. You can get a winning streak going.
Oh,
I realize we've been doing it the wrong way. Because the winner should be allowed to keep going.
And then you have to think of something to stoop the winner so you can get back in there. Okay, that makes sense.
So we're
going to
change the rules up on this in a little bit.
But wait.
The winner gets to keep playing.
Okay, so starting now.
And,
right?
The rules of face-off are you have about 2 minutes to explain. Let's say Matt picks Thor versus Hulk. We will shout who we pick, and once he says both names, and you got to come in and explain why Thor win that battle or why Raiders of the Lost Ark is a better action film than For Your Eyes Only or something like that. It can be movies. It can be characters. It can be anything in some ways.
But you can't ask us which is better, a 10-inch or an 8-inch. That's strictly something only you know.
I mean, I think that's the second, at least the second, maybe the third time he's brought up phallic things today. I don't know what's going on with Frank.
I didn't think about doing movies. Okay,
yeah.
So
it can be movies too.
So it wasn't going to be about 8-inch or 10-inch questions.
Let's play Face Off. Matt.
Cass. You want to take his face?
Yes.
His face.
Oh. I'm thinking James Bond today. You guys know the rules. I want a good, clean fight. Nope. No sucker punches.
No touching under the table.
person that says the movie that I'm about to say, or the two, one of the two movies, they get that choice. If you're too slow, you're too slow. GoldenEye or Casino Royale?
Casino Royale.
Go ahead, Mark, you won, because I don't care about either one.
What?
Like,
you got the N64 movie, but okay.
Casino Royale was a clean reboot where they kind of rebooted Bond for the modern age and brought in Daniel Craig, and it's extremely well done. It's got Mads Mikkelsen as the bad guy, who's just awesome. He of course played Galen in Rogue One, and man, from the beginning of the film, I've never seen a movie with a poker scene in it that's intense. You feel like something's going to happen in this poker scene as they battle it out, as he faces La Chief. You know, that's who Mads plays. And he's got Bond getting hit butt naked in the balls with a rope, and he's all like laughing about it. He's just like, oh, yeah, hit me again. You know, it's like almost sadomasochism in some way. You know, it's insanely cool. It brings Daniel Craig into the modern Bond era, and we get to see a different Bond. Is a little edgier, a little, you know, more not afraid to, you know, he'll do anything. You know, where Pierce Brosnan sometimes and the other Bonds, going back to Roger Moore and Sean Connery, you know, they, you know, maybe not would do anything he would take. Where Daniel Craig, he's not jacking around, man. And a great car chase in the film too, if I remember right, in it. And just overall, just, man, it's still, I think, the best of the Craig. I don't know, Skyfall might be a little bit better as far as the Craig Bonds. Hey, I think Skyfall is probably a little bit better, and it's only because Javier Bardem makes it better.
Chris Cornell did sing the theme for Casino Royale, though.
I know, but, you know, still. And just, that's it, man. Casino Royale is just, it's the shit's nits.
Okay. Frank, your rebuttal.
So, the movie starts off with, like, music from some celebrity, most likely. And then, Mariah like, Bond walks out on the screen.
He just wants to lose so he can pick the next
twist,
one.
And points at the camera with the gun. And then there's like some more weird scenes.
Tell me,
and
you
then the movie
more.
Opens out. And then,
I mean, GoldenEye is like the best Bronson film.
And then there's like a hot chick in it.
Yes. Okay. There's two, but which one are you talking about?
Like two hot chicks in it.
Oh, the chick who played Jean Grey. She's in it.
Yes.
You know. And then
thanks
then,
for trying real hard, ending, Frank. The Return ending, of Face.
That's some like, really cool credits with some more like famous music.
You're already on the credits.
Yeah.
Oh, Frank. Obviously. Frank did not utilize as that GoldenEye.
Never watched GoldenEye?
GoldenEye became
GoldenEye.
One of the most played N64 games ever.
Yeah, it didn't really
the
like the game either.
The four-way screen?
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
It inspired game. You could have gone there. The girl with the thighs, the sexy thighs girl that would squish you.
Yeah, that's a lot of Bond films.
Dude, you could have put up so much of an argument, but Mark wins. Obviously, Mark wins.
Frank, ultimately, that might be the worst face all he's
this
we've ever had.
This was supposed to be an exhibition. I feel like I should have thrown in the towel for you, Frank. You're getting beat like over there like Apollo Creed facing Ego.
Okay, well, man, you know, he's got penises on the brain apparently today.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of news going on, but there's one thing I want to talk about, man. You know, Top Gun, okay, we talked about Tom Cruise earlier.
Right.
He announced the sequel title. You know, Tom Cruise in an interview, he's been doing press for The Mummy coming out this week, and it's going to be called Top Gun Maverick. And, you know, a couple years ago when this was being thrown around and Tony Scott was still alive, you know, before he passed on, you know, and they were going to bring back Tony Scott to direct and everything, mm-hmm. I kind of thought, like, it was shortly after Tron Legacy came out, and I just sort of thought, why, you know? It's like trying to capture lightning again. You don't really need it. But I think now that it's been a few years, and they've sat back, and they've really thought about how to do it, I'm kind of on board for it now, man.
Yeah.
And really, you have to really listen to Tom talk about it, because for people that don't know, Tom Cruise is a pretty genuine guy.
Yeah.
He's one of those few Hollywood guys that's not bullshitting people. He seems really passionate about it. He said, man, you know, we're not going to make this overly political. It's going to be a fun action movie, throwback to, like, the 80s. He goes, it's going to be real jets and all this drone stuff you see nowadays. He said, man, we're just going to have fun with it. We've got a good script, and it's going to be called Top Gun Maverick. He said, no number twos, no need for that. Everybody knows what Top Gun is. And you listen to him, his confidence in it, and it kind of gives me confidence in it. I'm like, wow, you know, this could work. Because Cruise, man, you know, love him or hate him, he doesn't make a lot of bad films. He makes pretty good career choices. I don't think he's going to do a Top Gun sequel if he didn't feel that it could be fun.
If it was a knee-jerk reaction.
That's the same reason he keeps doing Mission Impossible films. What? He does them because they have good scripts and they're fun to do.
When's it supposed to take place?
I don't think it matters. You know, I think it's very.
I think it can't take place nowadays because literally it is about drones nowadays, well, especially in the U.S. military.
I don't think it has to be because that's what he's saying. He said, he goes, just like the original film, yes, it was a Cold War film, but it wasn't overly politicized. It didn't matter who they were fighting. You just knew they were fighting MiGs. And if you listen to the interview, he said the same thing. It's a timeless story. It doesn't really matter who they're fighting or when it takes place. You just have fun with it. Mm-hmm. You know,
I almost rather see another
The Expendables movies.
Days of Thunder.
Even the Expendables movies weren't great, but they did a good job of just being action fun. Movie for what they were.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that Top Gun could work on that level.
Yeah, on that
and,
level.
And just go out and have fun with it. You don't have to overly complicate who they're fighting or when it takes place or over politicalize it. Just have fun with it, you know. He's obviously older. He says it's gonna be a competition movie, so you know, maybe you do it in a route where he's training these kids at a school just like he was being trained, and they end up getting into some trouble, and that's that, you know.
Well, whenever this movie was first going to come out, I remembered them talking about the plot that they had thought of at first, where he is an instructor, he's older, he teaches at the school, and they have, I guess, these new drones out, and I guess they can't get the job done, or somehow he's got to do a better job than these drones do, and he gets out there, and you know he reestablishes himself as the Maverick, the human element.
See, and I can see that they use drones in that sense,
yeah,
you know, but I think it could be fun, man. I mean, you know, the original is a much loved film. You know, it's been. You know, everyone, there's not, you don't hear anyone say anything bad about Top Gun. You know, almost everyone has something good to say about or good memory. And you know, if they can do sequels to Tron years later and stuff and you know, Highlander reboots or Star Trek reboots or whatever, why not one of the most successful films of the 80s? Why not do a sequel to it and see where it goes, you know? I mean, you know, if you can get, what was it that came out recently that was had a 30-year-old sequel or something?
Oh,
I know there's something that came out recently that was kind of a success. I'm not. There's so many lately. You know, it's like, well, we got Blade Runner coming out in October, Blade Runner. Which looks incredibly cool.
It does.
You know, and
Harrison's in it.
I saw the trailer on the big screen in front of Wonder Woman, and I was like, wow, it's something about that movie. The scope of it you don't catch on your computer or your phone, and when you see the trailer on the big screen, I'm like, wow, this looks really awesome.
I almost flipped out because some guys behind me. And it says Harrison Ford and on the screen. And he's like, oh, Indiana Jones. And I'm like, you fucking retard. Sorry. I'm just like, do you not internet?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I'm cool with them doing Blade Runner and the way they're doing it, bringing in Ryan Gosling, a younger actor, you know, to maybe take over or whatever. And Harrison's in it. Like, as much as I love Indiana Jones, my God, Spielberg, just reboot it with a new actor. Yeah. You don't even have to reboot it. Just a new actor.
Yeah.
You know?
Ryan Gosling.
I like Harrison Ford. I love him. One of my all-time favorite actors. Probably top two or three. But, man, you're too old for Indiana Jones, dude. It's
just like, he was too old the last time. Yeah. I mean, he didn't try. He was old enough to where he could try and get back in shape.
Right.
A little bit, but it looked like he didn't try and get back into shape for the movie.
Yeah, his cheeks are all droopy, and you know, here's where you look at his face with the droopy cheeks, kind of looks like an old dog or something.
Yeah, I know. Hey, got these gals in there.
What's going on, guys?
Bulldog. Is he going to run away from a boulder on a walker?
Yeah, I know, right?
Exactly.
His little runabout. But,
he's got a raptor, one of those sit and drive thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think we did an episode way back when we talked about movies that like never got sequels that we would have liked to have gotten them to. I think we did do something like that, and you know, and I think one of us mentioned Top Gun, and you know, we're gonna get it, and I'm all for it. I don't know when it's coming out. I'm assuming he's doing press for Mummy. I know he's got that American Made movie coming out where he's like a drug cartel guy.
Yeah,
and then I guess Mission Impossible 6 is next summer, so maybe this starts filming in the springtime for, you know, release later next year or early 2019. You know, who knows?
That would be cool.
I don't even know if they've formally announced a director yet. Maybe they have. Obviously, it's not Tony Scott since he's no longer with us.
Yeah.
And he did the original. But, you know, man, I'm Tom Cruise, man. You know, why not? Bring it on. Top Gun, Maverick. Now maybe they'll get Val Kilmer in it.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully.
You know, but, you know,
he's going to lose a lot of weight.
Yeah.
He's had health issues and cancers and stuff like that, you know.
That's sad, too, man, because he was, like, huge back in the day.
Dude, he's Doc Holliday, man.
Yep.
You know, that's always, you know, they're doing a new Doc Holliday movie, apparently, with Jeremy Renner. In it.
Really?
That's been the word coming out. But, man, no one's ever going to replace Val Kilmer for me as far as Doc Holliday.
Especially not Renner. I mean,
yeah.
Credit to Renner for the roles that he has played, but not Doc Holliday. That's it.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's been kind of a slow news week. That's all I've got, man. Anything I'm forgetting that we've read or seen on the internet lately?
I could have sworn I saw a new trailer for Justice League.
There's a lot of rumors that it's coming.
Okay.
A lot of people thought we'd get a new one in front of Wonder Woman, and we didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's probably coming, you know, pretty soon here, I would imagine, because the movie comes out in November, so you're at that six-month mark for the movie.
Yeah, maybe it was.
So basically, people, this is a slow week for news. Yeah. We got together just because of how good Wonder Woman is.
Exactly.
To do a special show just for this movie.
The special show.
I don't know if it was really special. I mean, it was just a show, but, you know.
Otherwise we would have been like, all right, nothing going on.
Yeah, I know, right?
And
inches.
So, yeah, go see Wonder Woman. Great film. Go to our website, trustmeimajedi.com, for all the latest happenings.
Go there and do
it. You can find all our podcasts there. And follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all that. Because we're almost 600 Twitter followers. We're only like three away.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool. I mean, most of them are other podcasts. But, hey, someone's following us.
Someone's following us.
You know? And I feel like we're special in some ways.
Somebody's following me?
Yeah.
You know? Better watch my back.
And so, yeah. TrustMeMajedi.com. As Jason Mewes says in our promo, just go there and do it, of
do
course.
Do it, man.
And,
do
it. And again, thank you guys, as always, for listening. And go to iTunes. Leave us a quick 5-star review. That really helps a lot with search engines and all that stuff. And
yes, get us towards the top.
Find us on Google Play and Stitcher. Also, so lots of ways to listen to the podcast. But until next time.
This has been Matt.
Frank T. Biscuit.
This is Mark. And I don't have anything funny to say.
Just go there.
Or what does he say in Rick and Morty? Wubba dubba dub dub.
This is Walter Simons. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hey, you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.